Today is a special day in my life because it is the birthday of Connie. And she is dyslexic, so she's not 52, she's really 25. So keep that in mind. The theme of this morning's worship is realizing our need to rely on God and to always go to Him for help and for strength, and knowing that when we go to Him, He has all that we need. He has everything that we need for living this life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, we will look at this morning as we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and goodness, and we pray, Lord, as we look to your word, that we might have your wisdom, your understanding, your leading and guiding. Pray, Father, we would be receptive before your word, and that your word may have its way in our life. Help us, Father, to hear what we need to hear this morning. And I pray your word would rest on hearts that are open and ready to hear. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Someone has said it's not what happens to us that is important, but how we react to what happens to us that truly is important. Now God's going to bring in our lives a variety of circumstances in order to help us grow, teach us that we need to put our trust in Him, and that when we do that, He will be there for us and He will help us. Now, often the circumstances that He brings us through are difficult. They're hardships, they're troubles, they're suffering, they're difficulties. They're part of this sin-stained world. As I look at my life right now, sick again, I don't think there's been a day that I felt good since before Christmas. And God will bring us through things in life. And all these things that He's bringing us through, as we look to Him, as we realize that our struggles are there to help us. And as we saw last week, they're there to help us so that we can help others. And as He comforts us, we then can go and comfort others. Look at verse 4. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. When God brings you through difficulties, you can then reach others and help others as they go through the things that they're going through. Someone has said everyone is looking for some magic formula that will help them escape problems, pressures, tensions, disappointments, betrayals, and reversals. But the quicker we learn that we will never be smart enough to get out of trouble, or rich and powerful enough to devise a means to circumvent trouble, the sooner we will learn to be successful in this life, the sooner we will learn that trouble and difficulties are our companions, and the sooner we will learn how to get over them and rise above them. We must learn how to handle our troubles, or they will handle us. What is needed most is to learn to trust God as we go through difficulties, and God will help us through those hardships. So Paul, in verse 3 through verse 7, has talked about in a general way that God will bring us through hardships and troubles so then God can use us as we go through them to help others. Now in verse 8 through verse 11, he gets very personal. And he tells us about his life and the difficulties that God has brought him through. And in doing that, he wants to, by his example, show us that God can do the very same thing for us that he did for him. That as God comforted him, he now can take that and comfort us with the example of what God has brought him through. So look at verse 8 in the statement of Paul's troubles. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia." We've gone through some difficulties, we've gone through some troubles, and God has brought us through those troubles. So what God has done in our life, he now seeks to do in your life. Notice, he wanted them to know about his hardships. some people want us to know about their hardships, but they want us to know about their hardships so that they can get something from us, so that we'll feel sorry for them, so that they can gain our attention. You know, you sit in a group of people and people are talking about the troubles and the difficulties they have, and there's usually that one person that they will say, you know what, mine are bigger than yours. Mine are much more difficult than yours. And yeah, I know that you're hurting, but my hurts are far worse than yours. And they try to gain attention of everybody else and be the center focus of everybody else's life. Well, you know, Paul's not doing that. Notice that he's not going through a list of all, a list in a very structured way of all the things that he has had to deal with. But he says in a very personal way that he has suffered hardship. The word affliction back in verse 4, it's the same word we find in verse 8, affliction, the Greek that is behind it. It talks about pressure. You ever feel like you're walking through life and you suddenly hit a point in life where all the pressures of the life of life are simply going to pour in on you and pour on you so strongly that you feel like you're going to die? That's what Paul's talking about here. What were they? We don't know. We know that they were in the province of Asia, according to verse 8. But we don't know the specifics of the troubles. We know that Timothy was with him, so it must have been on his second missionary journey, but he doesn't say what they are here. Some have guessed. They've suggested maybe it was a sickness, maybe it was something emotional or a spiritual battle or a satanic battle or some kind of persecution that he was suffering. Now, hold your finger here and turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here he lists some of the struggles that he has faced in life. Look at chapter 11 in verse 23. In trying to defend his ministry, he says, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and imprisonments. Excuse me, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. You know, you look at his life and you begin to wonder, Paul, was there any place you could go where you weren't in danger? Is there any kind of danger that you did not face? Was there any kind of thing, that struggle that you hadn't been through? Can you imagine being beaten with rods? Or being stoned? And he talks about that in another passage where they stoned him to the point that they all thought he was dead. So you can imagine the beating that he had received through that stoning. They walk away thinking, man, we finally got Paul. He's dead. Let's leave. The exact nature of what he's talking about in chapter 1 may be one of those things. Maybe one of the things that are mentioned in the book of Acts. But his life was a life of suffering and persecution, yet God used him greatly. In fact, the suffering and the trouble that he faced was so bad, he did think he was going to die. Look at that at the rest of verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9, the depth of Paul's troubles. Back in chapter 1. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Let's pull this description apart a little bit. He says that they were utterly burdened beyond our strength. The word utterly means to an extreme measure. Far more, much greater, to a far greater degree. That they were burdened. Burden means to weigh down. So he's saying that the troubles he was facing here had weighed him down so greatly. Felt like people just took, big hunks of rock and metal and put them on his shoulders, and they weighed him down so great that they were to the extreme. In fact, notice far beyond his strength to endure. Beyond, again, to a much greater degree, strength, that which you are capable of. The thought is that the circumstances he was facing were so great they were beyond his ability to get through them. So he felt like he was in a court, and the judge looked at him and said, "The sentence is death." He despaired, feeling that someone had pronounced the verdict of death in his life. They were so severe, he thought he was going to die. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been through troubles? Maybe they were emotional. Maybe they were sickness. Maybe it was a spiritual battle. Maybe it was some kind of persecution. Maybe it was a family situation. And it seemed like you were weighed down so much, burdened so greatly, that you really literally thought that you weren't going to make it through the day, and you thought you were going to die. That's what Paul says he was going through. Certainly his life was no bed of roses. Only divine intervention at this point could have saved Paul. And that's exactly what happens. So notice thirdly the reason for these troubles that he's going through. We find them in the middle of verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. The things that God was bringing him through were so that he would stop relying on himself and he would begin to rely on God. Have you ever noticed that when you go through trouble, you pray differently than when you're not? Have you ever noticed that when others are given prayer requests of difficult days they're going through, you hear them, but sometimes you don't pray for them the way that you pray when you're in the midst of going through something that's causing you to think that someone has sentenced you to death. And sometimes God brings us through those very circumstances of life so that we will begin to look upward instead of inward. We begin to look upward instead of outward. We begin to look to God for help instead of others, instead of ourselves. We would look to God and say, "God, I need you. If nothing else in this world happens, I need you, and I need your help right now." Paul says sometimes God brings us through those kind of events so that we realize that life is beyond our ability to live it, so we will turn to God for help. The word rely here is a simple word. It simply means to trust. God was bringing him through things that he would learn to trust in God and not in himself. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What Paul is saying is that God brings us through things in life sometimes that we will learn to trust in God. And when we learn to trust in God, we are learning to trust in the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, the God of the universe, the God who does not get tired, he does not get faint, he does not get weary. And because he does not, when we go through difficulties in life, we can turn to God when we have gotten weary, when we have gotten tired. When life has been so troublesome to us that we feel like we're going to die, we can turn to God and we can seek his help, and his help will be there for us. In fact, it is only for those who will trust in God that when they wait upon him, they will find renewed strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. I know that's what I want. I know what I want in my life is that I can run and run and run and not get tired. You know, when I was in high school, I never liked those long races. Give me the short ones. These little legs didn't like going a mile down the road. They wanted that short 100-yard dash. I could do that, but run a long way, man, that wasn't for me. God says if we will trust in him, he will help us to run and not be weary. It's a shame so often that we rely on ourselves. We're living in a world that is built around a New Age philosophy that says when you have a problem, when you have a difficulty, and you are looking for the answer is found within yourself. That you need to look inward, and if you will look inward enough, you will find the God within you. And the God within you will give you all the strength that you need for this life. I want you to know that is a bunch of junk. The answer is not within you. The answer is above you. The answer is to rely on God and not to rely on yourself. Isaiah knew that. He learned that. The Apostle Paul knew that. He learned that. But sometimes people today say, I can do all things through me who gives me the strength. People say, if you can imagine it, you can do it. If you can visualize it in your mind, you will have it in your hand. That's a New Age philosophy. But Paul says here, we need to learn to rely on God. When we learn to rely on God, he'll give us the strength that we need. You know, we can be tempted in so many things to put our trust in them. You know, some people are looking to put their trust in money or their job. Problem is, sometimes our job isn't always going to be there. When we think that we finally have a job that is secure, it runs away. When we finally think that we have enough money in the bank, it dwindles. Sometimes we want to put our trust in people, but, you know, even the greatest of people with the most love and the greatest desire to help us sometimes fail us. And then sometimes we put our trust in ourselves. And all that does is cause us to well up with pride in the thinking that I can do anything. But Jesus commanded us to do the exact opposite. He said that we need to put our trust in him. He said that we need to seek his righteousness and his kingdom. And when we do that, we will learn to stop worrying. When we put God in the center of our life and we seek his help. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your sinful self. Living by the Spirit simply means that we put our trust in God at all times, that we seek his strength, we seek his help at all times. You know, God had to take the Israelites and test them. Can you imagine with all the Israelites as they're traveling through the desert, facing all the things they were going to face, coming to the point in the desert traveling where they have no food, they have no water. And God was going to use that to test them, to teach them to rely on him. So God set up a test and he told them, look, every day I'm going to rain down manna from heaven and you will have food to eat all that you want. But collect it day by day. Every day you go out and you collect food and you'll have enough for that day. And I want you to do that for 6 days. And it was amazing. Every day they went out, they had food. Every day they went out, they had food. But God said on the sixth day, I will give you enough for 2 days because I don't want you to collect on the seventh. So collect enough for 2 days and you will have enough to make it through the seventh day. But the Israelites didn't trust God. So many of them went out on the seventh day to collect when God had commanded them not to, but simply to trust him. You know, the reality is that every time you face a problem, a trouble, a persecution, it is not because you're not relying on God. It is not because you're not trusting God. But sometimes God does bring troubles in our way because we're getting a little self-confident. We're getting a little forgetful of God. We're starting not to pray as much as we did. We're starting not to look for his help as much as we used to. And God needs to remind us that we need to trust in him and not ourselves. So sometimes God will bring things our way, troubles, difficulties, problems, persecution our way, and bring us to a point where we realize they're beyond our own ability. And we can do nothing but trust in him to get us through those difficulties. And that is what Paul is saying that he's going through here. And he said that he had to learn to rely on God. And it was the very reason that God was bringing him through what he was going through. But I want you to notice what he says about God. He said, I had to learn to rely on God, but not just God, but God who raises the dead. Not just God, but the God who created this universe, the God who raises the dead. What he's saying in this truth is that when you learn to rely on God, that God has everything that you need. We just sang a little while ago that he's enough for us. All that he has is all that we need. He's an everlasting God, Isaiah said. Isaiah said he's the God of the universe who created everything we can see. Paul says he's the God who raises the dead. In other words, the God who's the God Almighty, the sovereign Lord of this universe, that's the God that we go to for help. And he's there for us. In fact, if you look at verse 10, Paul said that he was trusting God to deliver him out of danger. The danger that he speaks of is not just an ordinary danger, but the word that is used here to deliver means to deliver from something that is severe and acute. Not just bad, but very bad. Not just difficult, but so difficult we think we're going to die. He says, this God who has the ability to help us, the God who can raise the dead, verse 10, he has delivered us. He delivered us, past tense. He will deliver us. He's talking about right now, present tense. And then at the end of the verse, he says, and he will deliver us again. That's future tense. God has delivered us. He is delivering us. He will deliver us again. God's got it all covered. I like to put it this way. Nothing can harm you unless God allows it. And if God allows it, there's nothing you can do to stop it. In other words, sometimes God brings in your things in your life that no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to stop the things that God brings in your life. But he brings them for a purpose. And when he does that, he's there to watch over us. And when he does that, he will deliver us. Paul believed that God would deliver him out of every single trouble he ever had ever faced until Paul had finished his task. The thought is, I'll go, I'll leave this world, I'll die when God's done with me here. And until God is done with me here, God's going to deliver me through every single circumstance of life. Just think about it for a minute. Have there been times in the past where you really thought, with all the things that were going on in your life, that you just couldn't take it anymore? That you reached a place in your life that was just beyond your ability to struggle through it, fight through it, overcome it, and you really, really thought you were going to die? I want you to know I've been to those places. I've been to the places in life where I just thought, I'm not going to see the next day. But here's what God says in his word. When he brings us to those places, he's trying to teach us a truth we need to learn. That we need to understand and know that when we reach those places, that God is there for us and God will help us and God will bring us through things we could never imagine. Never imagine that we'd make it through, but God will bring us through those difficulties. And he'll bring us to the other side. And the only difficulty that God is not going to bring you through is the last difficulty when God knows that your time on this earth is finished. And you've done everything that God wanted you to accomplish. And when you reach that point, that's the only time that God will take you to be with him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. See, he's writing like a man who's learned to rely on God. He's writing like he's learned the truth he's talking about back in chapter 1. In fact, some 5 years later, 5 years after he wrote this book, Paul would write another book, the book of Philippians, 5 years later. And in that book, in chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Said he's learned when he's been through little, and he's learned when he's been through much, that God will give him the strength he needs for everything. Some people want to boast in themselves. But the Apostle Paul doesn't do that. In fact, skip over to chapter 12. Verse 7. To keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He cried out to God, God, take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me ask you, when you reach those points in life, when you feel like you can't go on another moment, what do? When you feel like life is caving in on you so great and the pressures are so strong, so heavy that you feel like quitting, what do? Paul says in chapter 1 he had gotten to that place. And God had put him there so that he would rely on God. And in chapter 4, he said as he went through those kind of places that he had learned to look beyond them and to look to God. In chapter 12, he said, you know, when I get to those places in life, I've learned that God gives me the strength, the grace to get through them. So you know what? I'll gladly boast about my own weakness so that people will see his strength. Now, as we go through those times, it is important that we have other believers to help us. Look at verse 11. He knows that God's going to deliver him. He knows that God's working in his heart to get him to trust in God. But in verse 11, he says, you also may help us by prayer. He's telling, look, we reached the point where we thought we were going to die, but you know what? We need your help too. You can help us by prayer. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. As you pray for us, as we go through these difficulties, God is going to use your prayers to help us through the difficulties, to deliver us. And when he does that, others are going to see that, and they're going to thank God. They're going to praise God for what God has done in our life. So in praying for us, you're helping us. God brought us through difficulties that were beyond our ability that we would learn to rely on God. So I want to ask a simple question this morning. How do we learn to do that? How do we learn when we're going through difficulties and even when things are going our way, how do we learn to rely on God? Let me give you 4 real quick things. Number 1, get to know who God is through his word. We ought to be digging into the Word of God in good times and bad times, and we ought to be digging to get to know who God is. Learning his character, his qualities, his strength. Learning that when we get through those down times, God is there for us. God has the strength that we need. Number 2, we need to fix our eyes on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that. Fix your eyes on Jesus so that you can run this race. No matter what you're going through, look beyond your difficulties. Look above them. If it's a wall that's hard to climb, that's high and steep, look over it. And number 3, learn from your circumstances. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Base what God has done in your life today on what he did in the past. Learn from your circumstances. Paul says here that God was taking him through troubles that he would learn from those circumstances to rely on God. And number 4, pray. Pray. You know what prayer is? Prayer is an acknowledgement to God that I need his help. And when you don't pray, you know what you're saying to God? You're saying to God, I don't need you. And you know what when you pray only when times are difficult? You're saying to God, I don't need you for the most part of my life, but when things get really bad, God, I'll come running to you. It's like the illustration I often give of the spare tire. You throw it in the trunk and you never use it until you get yourself in trouble. And then you go back to the trunk and you hope that there's air in the tire so you could stick it on your car and get out of the difficulty. God does not want to be used that way. God wants us to learn to rely on him in those difficulties, but he wants us to rely on him in all the circumstances of life, whether they're bad or good. Those who trust in him, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Who are you relying on this morning? Are you continually focused on God to help you? Are you continually trusting him every moment of life? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul and for the example of Job and others in your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the examples I've seen in my life of people who've gone through extreme difficulties, but they've learned to rely on you, trust you. And they've learned to rise above those troubles. Help us, Lord, this morning to trust you. Help us, Lord, when things are bad, when things are good, to trust you. And I pray, Father, when we're going through the most difficult times of life, we would not run away from you. We would not blame you. But we'd run to you. And we would rely on you and trust you. Help us, Father. Help us to trust you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.